Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 542. It's the 26th of July, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Executive Director of Vela Technologies, it's V-E-L-A. Anthony Laker talks about their strategy and covers some of their top investments. Anthony also gives us three reasons why we should add Vela to our Vox Markets watch list. So listen out for that. Also on the podcast, Doc Holliday, small cap commentator, talks about strategic minerals, prospects oil and gas, Makanga Resources, Nostra Terra, Metal Tiger, and Ferrum Crescent, some of which are in the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website yesterday. Now, I'll count down the top five, and some of those are included there. Also, today's one for your watchlist, suggested by AFSAL. It's a revisit because a bit of news has come out since. It's Urals Energy, UEN ticker. I'll give the reasons why AFSAL has gone for this company in a few minutes.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Executive Director of Vela Technologies. That's V-E-L-A ticker, Anthony Laker. Anthony, thank you for coming on.
Hello, good morning.
Now, Anthony, I've done a little bit of research on you. I knew you before. I've read quite a few of your RNSs in previous times. Very interesting company there. But for people not aware of what Vela does, could you explain what you're all about, please, Anthony?
Yes, of course. It's all pretty simple. We're an investing company. We invest in companies in the technology arena, but specifically in companies that disrupt. And we have a pretty specific definition of that, in as much as it needs to actually change the way in which a business, service or sector operates, but on a long-term basis. So these are long-term businesses that we're investing in that we think will change the way that these companies and areas work.
Yeah, and so these disruptive technologies, even though they can be sort of hit and miss, if you get one, I suppose, there's chance for a massive uprating or re-rating, isn't there?
Well, that's right, yes, if we get it right. I mean, we've got one investment in particular, which is Porter, which is the baggage handling business, which is already demonstrating that. Hopefully we've got some similar stories to tell in the future on two of our other investments, which is the Stream TV and blockchain technologies. But those investments were made a bit later and they're a little bit behind that.
Yeah, okay. So how many in total investments do you have at the moment?
We have eight investments.
Eight investments. And so you mentioned three then. Let's go through that then. So you mentioned Porter. And so what is it they do?
Well, they're a baggage handling business. And essentially what happens is that you can go online and book your luggage to be picked up or to drop off. Alternatively, you can go along to a kiosk in the airport and use the service from there.
Yeah, do you know what? There's one thing I hate about travelling. It's hard enough if you're travelling with kids, but if you've got bags and everything, if someone else can take care of that, that'd be ideal. So is that what they're heading for, is it?
Well, that's where it's all heading, because in time, there is definitely a view within the travel industry, particularly in relation to the recent terrorism issues, of separating the luggage from the traveller. The luggage has additional screening before it gets to the airport anyway via Porter. So what will happen in due course is that your luggage will go off, hopefully from home, and the next time you'll see it at the other end, wherever you're landing. And then in the meantime, you will toddle off to the airport bag free.
Yeah, so I suppose there's less chance of someone interfering with the baggage in between that journey there, isn't there?
Absolutely, and all airport staff are all sort of go through the same security as if they were working in the airport.
Yeah, okay. And so where does Porter operate at the moment, airports?
Started off at City Airport originally, and then more recently, back end of last year, beginning of this year, it moved to Gatwick and Heathrow and is now operating from all terminals from both of those airports.
Wow, okay. And that's because they are two, you know, like I said, City Airport's quite niche, I suppose, but now branching out into Gatwick and Heathrow, that's a lot more commercial, isn't it?
It's much more commercial, and it also does spread the area of activity of business, not just for the business traveller, but for the leisure traveller as well, which is an area which Porter found to be more popular than they thought at this early stage.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, doing City there, they sort of proved it, and now they're scaling it out, and I assume they're going to be expanding this to, I mean, other airports.
Not for now, no. I think that they need to be operating from airports which are commercial for them to operate from. You have to remember, if they're going to be picking up luggage at people's homes, offices, business or whatever, it has to be commercially viable in terms of getting the luggage to the airport in a timely way.
Okay, so they need sort of, almost dense populations and big hubs there, I suppose.
That's right. So that's why it's London just for now. I think probably more likely is to move forward to international locations rather than other locations within the UK.
Ah, I see. Okay, and so if I wanted to do this, I mean, is it affordable or is it just for the high-end user?
Definitely not. It's very, very affordable, and this is what is proving to be so interesting. I mean, it depends exactly where you are and which airport you're going to, but essentially you're talking around about £25 for the first item of luggage, and then £5 for each subsequent piece.
Yeah, that is reasonable, isn't it? I mean, and
well, it does compare to the price of putting a car into a car park and the time it takes you to travel, taxes, and etc. It makes it very, very affordable.
Okay, and have you any idea of revenues of Porter, or is that on the website, or can you find that out somewhere, or how are they doing?
At this stage, they're not revealing any revenue numbers.
Okay.
Talking to the company and if you read our RNSs, you'll find that the company seems to be progressing pretty strongly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's one. Name the blockchain one you mentioned as well.
Yes, blockchain is one of our more recent investments. It's a company called Blockchain Tech Limited. If anyone wants to have a look at the website, it's worthwhile doing, which is blockchaintechlimited.com. Mm-hmm. And that's really the best place to get more information. But this is a company that's listed on the TSX Venture Exchange in Canada, run by a couple of guys who are developing blockchain technologies, particularly in the small currency transaction market. So it's quite specialised, but it's actually quite a big market.
Yeah, well, we all hear about this, don't we? And we all say, you know, people say this is going to be huge going forward. And so, you know, this is definitely a disruptive industry. And I think it's one, if you are like a company like yours, investing in disruptive industries, one you can't ignore, isn't it, really?
Well, we definitely can't ignore it, because the implications for blockchain technology overall it spreads across virtually every industry and every business you can think of. You only have to look at the sort of daily press on blockchain technology. So, initially it's payments for blockchain tech, but there are also areas like gambling, auditing, events and ticketing, and all these areas are very relevant to ensuring that when someone buys something or when a transaction takes place, that both parties know what's happened and the price has been agreed.
Yeah, I can see that can be massively scaled up. And so, okay, so that's that. And the third one you mentioned as well, you have eight, you said, but the top three here?
Yeah, the other one I think worth highlighting is our investment in Stream TV Networks. Mm-hmm. Which is they have a technology called Ultra D, it's Ultra Dash D, and again, just to it's worthwhile having a look at a couple of websites. One is called MoveBeyond3D.com, and also UltraDD.com. They're both Stream TV sites, and what they have is they developed this technology which enables the conversion of 2D to 3D within the television. Mm-hmm. It can also be viewed from any angles. But the most important thing is without glasses. So it's a glasses-free product, and it's a natural 3D with a volume control. So you can control the level of 3D,
yeah.
level of 3D, depending on what sort of media you're looking at, how perhaps how close you are to the television. And what it does is it moves away from this idea of 3D meaning jumping, things jumping out at you and things like that. It's actually to watching a natural 3D product rather than just the 2D that we're all used to.
So it basically gives you a more fuller depth filled picture kind of thing, is that right or what?
Exactly.
Because I mean, I've always thought that. I mean, I've never been obsessed with the 3D as it is, getting glasses, and if I've had the option in cinema to take 2D or 3D, I normally go 2D because I live in 3D. I don't need to have the odd character jump out at me to make it any of a special. What I would like I said, is probably a more real experience without having to put glasses on that don't fit very nicely, you know?
Well, this is exactly what they're offering. And I recently saw their 65-inch TV with the Ultra D, and it is absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, wow. So that's three technologies there you're excited about. And those are the ones at the moment, like you said, at the forefront of creating something special, are they, or heading towards?
I think so. I think in any portfolio you have companies performing at different speeds. We've made investments at different times, so it is a portfolio of investments. And of course, you know, these investments, depending what industry they're in, what stage they're at, they're all taking different time frames to get to a point where they're hopefully going to have more an impact on our portfolio.
Yeah, how do you, you know, scan for these? I mean, I assume you're always on the lookout, are you, for new tech companies?
We are. We get shown quite a lot of deals. We're looking for some things that are quite specific. I mean, you know, it's really important for one thing that the owners have, you know, sort of their skin in the game. They've got their own big risk as well, for example.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that it needs to be able to disrupt the way that these businesses operated in the past. So once we can overcome that, then we look at the other areas. And the other thing, actually we want businesses that are easy to understand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those three are, I suppose. And
Where you've potentially got the scale coming through later on.
Even though the intricacies of blockchain is beyond me, I understand that it's an industry that could revolutionise the way we pay for things, So, yeah. Okay, cool. Marvellous, Anthony. Well, I think that's enough to be going on with. So if investors need a reminder of why they should add Bella to their Vox Markets watch list, can you give us three bulleted points as to why, please?
Sure, of course. Well, first of all, our investment in Porter, based on the last valuation, equates broadly to our market cap. Now, quite a few investors who we've met have said, we'd like to be able to buy shares in Porter in the future, to which I've responded, well, Vela is a proxy for Porter. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first point, and I think Porter's got a lot of growth to come through, and hopefully that's going to be reflected in a substantially higher valuation in due course. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing is also kind of on the same theme, is the stream and blockchain technology, and the potential value of these over the next 12, 18 months as the value starts to come through, hopefully in the same way as it has done in Porter. And just generally on these three subjects, we're just starting a bit of a sort of more social media campaign at the moment. So investors, if they go onto the various social media platforms, they'll see us there, and in very shortly they'll be able to see more about all of our companies. And the also related to that is the fact that the sum of our parts, if you do the work as two new investors have recently done, you will come to a conclusion that the value of our investments, or sum of the parts, is materially above the current level. Based on last year's accounts, so it's not taking account of anything for this year, I think you can safely say that they're north of 2 million compared to our market cap of around 1.3.
Yeah, wow. And as far as investors are concerned in your company, I understand you have skin in the game as well, don't you, in your company?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And I was reading...
I own around 5% of the company.
5%, that's always good. And I was reading through some of the RNSs, and some guys here, a couple of guys have taken... Are you aware of who these guys are? Who've taken big chunks of Vela stock?
Yeah, I mean, they're both very experienced investors and investors in the technology arena as well. In particular, maybe worth mentioning Scott Fletcher. Mm-hmm. He runs a company called ANS Group up in Manchester. He's very well known in the tech world. But both of them, both of these investors have taken the trouble to do the work and had a look at what we've got and look at how we're valued. And they believe that we know that the shares are substantially undervalued. So they've come on board and, and continue to add to their holdings, it would seem.
Yeah. I mean, he's got above 8%, isn't he, at the moment?
And he's just approaching 9%, 8.8% last.
And the other one is Kevin Sinclair. He's got about 14%.
Yeah.
Wow. So they're,
that's right,
they're very confident in your potential. And
absolutely.
Yeah, but it's almost like at a valuation level, like you just said, the investment in Porter is as equal to your market cap. So it seemed like a bit of a no-brainer. All right, well, thank you very much, Anthony, for coming on, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Lovely, thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wake.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Small Cap Authority. When I say small caps, I mean small stocks. He doesn't wear a small cap. All right, Doc.
Hi, mate. How are you today? The head's far too big to fit a little cap on it, so yeah.
Yeah, so what I thought we'd do, Doc, it's a good idea. We've got top five most followed companies on Vox, and this is a measure of sentiment, really. You know, as companies that are being followed a lot, you realise, hang on, there's a bit of interest here. So we're going to go through three of the top five. We're not going to say in which order they are, because you have to listen a bit longer for the podcast to get that. But in there, again, as was yesterday, SML, Strategic Minerals. Do you know anything about Strategic Minerals?
Yeah, I mean, Strategic Minerals are a company that's become a bit of a labour of love, both for investors and also for the new management team. The company was languishing somewhat. There were a group of investors that were quite heavily exposed to the story. They didn't feel they were getting a bang for the buck. In fact, I think they felt quite disgruntled by certain members of the ex-management team, and as a consequence you saw a new executive director come on board, and I believe a non-executive director. So we've got a couple of guys that have actually come from the investment community and entered into Strategic Minerals to help sort of steer the company back on track. Shares were off quite dramatically from this time a year ago. It's made something of a recovery of late, and actually was chatting to a couple of people down in London recently, and Strategic Minerals was a company mentioned. They believe that they've got themselves well set up now, and they've got a robust plan in place to get the company back on track. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I don't think it's a quick couple of month turnaround, but I think they've got themselves well poised and positioned to get things moving in the right direction. And I guess in due course, we'll talk more about that as things start to unfold.
Cool. Next one is, this very well. Top five is PXOG, Prospects Oil and Gas.
Prospects Oil and Gas. Yes, obviously I met up with Ed Dawson a little while ago. We had a spot lunch. Ed and I have had a fragmented relationship over the last 12 months by the virtue of the progress was quite slow from the initial listing at 3P. They've spent quite a long time getting this deal under its belt. Now it's sort of done. They've financed it. I think it's a really intriguing situation. Ed and I met. We had a good chat about any of the kind of bits and pieces that we'd disagreed on prior to that. And I think we've come to the conclusion that it's the right deal. Ed's own words were, by hook or crook or a bit of kind of stone ignorance, he's managed to stick with it long enough to get the deal over the line. A few interesting points, won't sort of rattle on too long. The guys that are drilling on the ground, the team that they've got in place, they've done two other drills in the same area, and both of them have been commercially viable and a complete success. One of the interesting facts is that about 200 to 250,000 pounds of the cash raised was raised with the people who were doing the drilling. So the actual the in-country team in Poland have put their own cash in. We don't know what the split is. Naturally, it's probably, you know, a proportioned between a group. But the fact that you've got a team that are on the ground that have had two from two success, they've put some of their own cash in. I think Ed had told me that his wife's boss and his own father had stumped a bit of cash up. And much of the book on the recent raise, he'd been able to kind of fill that as a lot, you know, as well as the broker. So really interesting points. Pretty decent sized production that they're looking at, 3,500 to 6,000 barrels of oil equivalent a day on a successful outcome. Somewhere between 25% and 40% chance of success. The guys that are doing it have been successful in both of the drills commercially, and they're putting their own money up. You know, what more can you ask for? If these guys are that confident, they'd be happy to put their own money in, and they have.
Okay. Another one in the top five is Makanga Resources. They did an update today. It's a bit complex, but it says they secured a 2-year exclusive option and right to acquire the worldwide license for technology to provide high-strength hydrochloric acid from calcium chloride feed streams using sulfuric acid. Anyway, it's good for rare earth processing, apparently. But what do you know about MKA, Doc? They've had a little run recently.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they've come to market. There's been some speculation based around them getting here. It's taken them quite some time. They had a few failed attempts to get to market. They've got here. They seem to have done quite a good job of it. The share price hasn't fallen below the placing price. So obviously there's been a structure put in place to prevent anybody kind of just bombing out the door, and I think that was done for a good reason. They'd raised some pre-IPO money that had been hanging about for a little while, and the fear was that it comes to market and these guys just want to throw the towel in because they're sick of waiting. They've put a structure together, they brought in some decent money, and it seems to have stood up exceptionally well. You know, when you start talking about hydrochloric acids from calcium carbonate and all of the rest of it, you know, this is not a clean, it's not a clean type of business, is it? When you start talking about sulfuric acid, hydrochloric acid, you know, and calcium carbonate, this isn't a clean business. So the one thing that we've established is that those types of things, whilst you've got an exclusive option on them, I don't quite know what the situation is on the ground with building operations which include these type of chemicals, because they're extremely hazardous both to human beings and it's a marine pollutant. So I mean, I'm not quite sure about that. I'm going to review that, actually, having worked within the chemical business for a little while. One of the really interesting things that I heard muted from the city is that Metal Tiger are putting £125,000 of their money into Makanga. I sort of asked that question, why would they do that? Quickly to figure out that there's a lock-in period with investors at Makanga. Metal Tiger allegedly believe there's an opportunity to come on board, stuff some cash in, and make a pretty penny whilst others are locked into the story. I can't confirm that this is, you know, 100% legitimate yet. It's something that I've heard over the last couple of days. Apparently it was muted about 3 or 4 weeks ago at a certain meeting and get together that happened with the usual investors around Metal Tiger. There's a group of folks, they're all the same people. They seem to have been well informed from the 1P level, and actually have all made a lot of cash. I think tongues have been wagging, and that information surfaced. So we'll wait and see. I mean, it'd be an interesting one. I did put it to Paul Johnson, and I await his response to see what he says about that. There's a few things with Metal Tiger that are going on at the minute, and I'll be covering and talking more about that, as I say, in due course.
Do you know what's annoying? On Monday, I think it was, which is yesterday, I scaled back. I took half of my holding of Coves out. Since I did that, that was at 60 pence. And since I did that, they're now up to 78 pence, up 10% a day, and up yesterday as well, about 10%.
My friend is poison justice for taking the piss on the weekend podcast out of one of your friends, isn't it?
No. Anyway, any other stock you're looking at, Doc, before you go?
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm always looking at lots of different things in the market. One of the interesting points that I spotted this morning was that Nostra Terra had put an RNS out to say that they'd received a non-refundable deposit on the sale of its Chisholm Trail asset. That would suggest that that deal's likely to complete. If it fails and falls through, Nostra are going to be $100,000 better off. So I guess there's not much of a downside from there. And I just wanted to note the fundraise from Ferrum Crescent. They announced yesterday that that they were raising about £375,000, 0.20p. You know, the turbulence was coming through the market at the back end of last week. I sort of flagged it up. A few people gave me a bit of stick about it. And then I think one or two sort of mentioned, you must have been privy to what was going on with, you know, inside of the business. That wasn't the case at all. I think if you've been to the disco enough times, you get to know the dance moves. And I think sometimes you can just smell that these things are happening. Now, it's an interesting one because they've raised cash at 1.3 and at 0.165 on an options package. They've obviously raised money again that they announced yesterday. So it's again at a premium. The options again at 50% premium again. I didn't participate, but I think that, you know, the market's going to see it as a potential avenue to be able to suck some additional cash in, because $375,000 plus the options package is going to give them another kind of bolt-on of cash. Why do they need it? Well, it's all about Spain. So I think what you're going to find is there's a little bit of cynicism out there at the minute because they've gone and done the raise. We know that the company had announced that there was an extension for a month on that Spain asset. I honestly believe that they're going to get that over the line. They'll probably look to just bolster up the cash position because there's going to be capital needed for that particular asset. And you know, you look at what's going on in that zinc area. It's one of the best performing commodities out there over the last couple of months, and I think that should bode well for Ferrum Crescent. If you can get the deal over the line, I can see the stock going higher from this level, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, do you know what? When you were talking there, I couldn't picture anything else in my head apart from you in the disco busting some moves. You know what I'm saying?
Like John Travolta, mate. I've still got the white suit. It's a bit tight around the middle, but, you know, there we go.
Yeah, it's still just about fits, and I'm almost busting the suit as I'm busting the moves. All right, Doc. Lovely. Speak soon, fella.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, as we mentioned there, here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets watch list yesterday. So, at number five, CTAG, CloudTag. It's very popular on social media. At four, again, news out today, Macango Resources. Covered them with Zach earlier on in the earlier podcast for his 3 and 3, MKA, that is. At three, still in there, Prospects Oil and Gas, PXOG. Two, it's a brand new entry, number two, most followed yesterday, China New Energy, CNEL. And number one, for the second day in a row, the most followed company on the Vox Markets website yesterday was Strategic Minerals, SML. And if people are following that, it's probably worth following, because it means a bit of sentiment building up there in a positive way towards that company. SML. Okay, today's one for your watch list, suggested by AFSAL, is Urals Energy, UEN. What does the company do? Independent exploration company and production company with operations in Russia. 250 million shares in issue. A 1.875 pence, market cap 4.75 million. What revenue and profit or loss does the company generate? For the year ended 31st of December 2015, gross revenues before excise and export duties were $31.4 million. Gross profit $7.1 million. Operating profit $3.3 million. Loss for the year $4 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? As 31st of December, the company had net debt $2.2 million. And as of the 31st December 2015, the company had net cash of $2.9 million. List three reasons why you think the company has potential. Number one, very low operating costs of $8.4 per barrel, producing 2,000 barrels per day on average from Arctic Neft and Petrosavsk assets. That's my Russian there. In June 2016, the company has been awarded a 25-year exploration and development license for South Dagi Oilfield on Sakhalin Island, following an auction by the Russian state authorities with Russian state-registered reserves of C1 plus C2, equivalent to 2P, that's proven and probable, of around 17.7 million barrels. And reason three, development will be financed by existing cash balance and loan from local banks, which has been negotiated. Directors have hold shares at a much higher price. So that's UEN, Urals Energy. Don't forget, please, this is just information. It's not advice to invest. Please do your own research on anything you hear on this podcast. Thank you very much. It's easy for me to say. Thank you very much for listening. Muchos apreciados. Eh?
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.